Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Copra Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hrishikesh Patole from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome all to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Copra Limited. Hope everyone is in good health and doing well. On behalf of Copra, we have with us today Mr. Surendra Somani, Executive Vice Chairman, Mr. Ajit Jain, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Sanjay Doshi, Group Advisor. I now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, post which we'll open the session for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, and I welcome all the investors to this call, and hope all of you are in good health. For Copra, as you all might have already read, for quarter three, the consolidated turnover was marginally higher as compared to the corresponding quarter ended December 2022. However, the EBITDA grew from rupees 13.84 crores to rupees 23.58 crore. This growth in the margins was achieved due to optimization of costs and a better product mix because of the share of new molecules in the overall business. We expect to continue improvement in margins in the medium term also. The company's focus continues to be in development of new products, both in APIs and formulations. Further, we plan to do a backward integration of the API by manufacturing KSMs, which will improve the margin, the quality, and reduce the dependency on commodity products. We are also investing to improve our share in the regulated markets, including U.S., Europe, U.K., and certain other countries which are very stringent on regulatory norms in the Middle East and South America. During this quarter, the company has filed two CEPs, and amongst the new launches, the big one was Ertapenem, which is another penem in the APIs. We are seeing price stabilization and demand pickup for most of our products, and our outlook for the quarter four seems to be better as compared to quarter three. We will continue with the strategy to grow in the coming years also. In the last two years, the company invested heavily in CapEx, and going forward, we expect this CapEx to yield the increase in revenues and profits. So our strategy would be to go moderate on the CapEx and generate higher free cash flows from our operations. I now welcome the investors to ask their questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shri Nivas Rao, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Is your unit acquired in Gujarat newly? Is it in running? Or is it still yet to get the permission from Pollution Control Board?
May I respond, sir? You are referring to our new API unit, which we expect to start in Panoli, Gujarat. We have received clearance from Delhi and expect the Gujarat Pollution Control Board clearance in the next couple of months. We are targeting to start the commercial production in the next quarter, that is quarter one of 24-25.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Julie Mehta from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, I wanted to ask some questions regarding the future of the company. So, can you tell us the strategy going ahead for the next 4-5 years to diversify from being an antibiotic company to other therapies?
Okay. So, our strategy is basically to focus on new products, both in the API and in the formulation. And in the new product development, we are definitely focusing on anti-diabetes as well as cardiology products, CNS, central nervous system products, which will be not only for the API business, but the same range of products we will be manufacturing the formulations. The other strategy is to focus on the regulated markets, where in US or in Europe or in UK, we will be able to launch these products with better margins and turnover.
Thank you, sir. My next question would be that we see that we are highly dependent on South Africa and Africa as a geography. So, which would be other emerging markets that you are currently focusing on?
Okay. South Africa, we are one of the biggest players in the penicillin-based products. So, almost all the major companies rely on us to buy a majority of their products, and therefore that business is very high. Other African countries, we have been historically registered there, and that will continue to grow. However, we are now registering ourselves in Southeast Asia. We will also focus on UK as well as the Latin American markets. So virtually the whole world. We have just launched our products in Canada, for example. So we are focusing on other markets. But as you know, your product launches and commercialization is phase one. The product growth in terms of the share of the business takes a long time. However, we meanwhile even grow in the South African and African markets also. But as such, it's a global phenomena that we continue to register new products and grow everywhere. But the South Africa and Africa share is only in the formulations market. In the API business, it is global, including the domestic market.
Okay. As we move on to other geographies, we would also
have a lot of disturbance from your line.
Hello? Is it better now?
No, ma'am. There's a lot of background disturbance from your line.
Okay, I'll join back with you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Kaushik from KK Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I hope you're doing well, sir. Sir, I want to understand, are we taking any CDMO opportunities in antibiotics? That is my first question.
CDMO opportunities, we are seeking not only in antibiotics, but in all types of products, including cardiac, including diabetes, including other painkillers, etc. we are doing CDMO activity also.
So how much the pie of the revenue comes from CDMO?
Less than 5%.
Okay. Do you wish to grow this part? How big, sir?
It will grow, and that is why when we are doing the investment in R&D of both API formulations and even the KSMs, it will ultimately yield to a much a growth part of the growth will come from the CDMO activities.
Okay, great, sir. Great, great. I have another question. This is regarding your group company. So you have been selling assets in your other group company, which is the parent of Kopron. And do you wish to sell total business and focus on this pharma business totally? Is that your focus area, or do you have any growth plans for your group company Aurika on plastic? What are the thoughts there, sir?
Sir, I have no comments to offer for whether there is any business for sale or not at this stage. I cannot comment on.
But I'm asking on the growth prospects of the Aurika.
Sir, they are independent listed companies, and I am not on the board of Aurika, so I cannot comment, sir. I'm not authorized to comment.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm not on the board of Aurika.
Okay.
I'm not authorized to comment, sir.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
I seek your understanding.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. So first of all, I mean, in your opening remarks, you mentioned we expect to continue to increase our EBITDA margins in the medium term. So any kind of aspiration we have in terms of range of where we want to achieve in the medium term in terms of margins?
So I mentioned that the EBITDA will increase in the numbers. As a percentage, it will gradually increase because as we make the KSMs, obviously the margins will also increase. So we will have a situation in the next few years where we will be manufacturing the KSM also, the API also, and the dosage form, leading to an increase in the overall EBITDA on the consolidated results.
Correct. And what would that aspiration be? I mean, currently I think we are at about 15%, right? I mean, do we have an aspiration of 18-20% kind of EBITDA margin?
It would be in 20.
Our aspiration would be too near to your expectation.
Okay, around 20%.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. And you also mentioned, I think we are focusing a lot in terms of our regulated market, and even the new products in terms of APIs and formulation. What sort of growth we see then? Driven by all this effort that we are doing for next 2-3 years.
So the major business from regulated markets will come only after 2-3 years, because we have filed dossiers, DMFs, and we are working with partners. But right from getting the approval, then commercial production, validation batches, etc., it's a long process. Normally, any product to launch in any market takes 3-5 years. So we are looking at the US market also. We are already in the European market. And we aspire that in the next 5 years, we also go into the Japanese market.
Okay. So your growth, growth will be largely back-driven, maybe in 2-3 years once you establish your market and start the production and all.
The growth will be there not only from regulated markets, even from the domestic and the other markets. See, now this word regulated, let me clarify. It's an old generation reference that regulated market means only US and UK and Europe or Japan. You may be surprised to know, maybe. But today, if I have to work in Brazil, for example, or in Mexico, or even in the Middle East, GCC countries, they are as regulated or at times more stringent than US. Like some products we are entering into Brazil, we are already there. Some products we are manufacturing, some we are waiting since 2 years. So growth will come from all countries together. The whole world is gradually becoming a regulated market. I don't think in the next 5 years you will have any country, barring maybe a few African or some countries, which will be like non-regulated. The terminology needs a change.
Fair enough. Fair point, sir. So I understand that. But in the near term, I mean, you have to see next 2-3 years. So what sort of growth we are looking at? Because your regulated growth will come only after 2-3 years, right? So your domestic, driven by your domestic market and other international market, what sort of growth we are looking at?
Between 25-30% in the next 3 years.
25-30% CAGR, you are saying?
CAGR.
Compounded annual growth rate.
25-30%. And can you throw some more light? I mean, which markets will drive this growth in next 2-3 years? That 25-30%.
Including the domestic market for the API, as well as the various countries. I mean, we export our products to about 40-odd countries. So it will be a mix of all. For the APIs, it will be Southeast Asia, Brazil and the South American market, US market, European market, Middle East, including your Iran and all the markets. Korea, we may market everywhere the APIs. The formulations, except US, we are there everywhere. So it's a growth everywhere. Like our percentage growth will come higher from LATAM, for example, Latin America, where the base is very small. Where the percentage growth in Africa will be lesser because the base is higher. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Fair enough. I think I got a fair understanding. I think that's it from my side, and all the way best to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Rishikesh Patole from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. So just quickly on the panels front, I mean, we have a very good and a very sizable portfolio on the panels front. So generally, what is stopping us from gaining, you know, more market share? And we have seen a commentary across key peers, large cap peers, of their interest in the PNMs market. Some are adding capacity or some would be doing partnerships. So how is this space evolving in your view? Whether these new entrants turn out to be competitors, stringent competitors, where we'll probably see price erosion or anything, or you can provide or throw some light on it.
Sir, PENEMs, which are known as carbapenems as a family, are fourth generation antibiotics. And within the PENEMs, there is the older PENEMs like the imipenem and the meropenem, and there are the newer PENEMs like the ertapenem, biapenem, doripenem, etc. As a strategy, we are manufacturing both the oral and the sterile PENEMs. And we have expanded in the last 2 years our capacities also. We are already growing and we are a significant PENEM player. In the long run, in the next 2-3 years, we also intend to integrate forward to be able to make the dosage forms also. So PENEM will continue to be a major pillar for us in time to come. The oral PENEM market, which we entered only about a year back, which is Feropenem, and in the current year will be a significant contributor. We launched just last quarter Tepenem, which is a sterile again. So for the user makes a sterile filling. So that has been just launched successfully and we have got the vendor approval. There will be competition, as you said. There are many players, like 6 players or so. But the market is also growing globally. But as an antibiotic, the major market continues to be in the Asian, African and the South American region, much more than the European or the US market. So a good chunk of the business will be in what we earlier used to refer as non-regulated market.
Fair enough. So this etaponym that we probably launched, was this for Africa and Asia market or?
So they're mainly for the Indian market as of now.
And what would be the plan?
And the formulator exports it. and the formulator exports the vial. Because this way we are making the API. We, as of now, we do not do the formulation of panels.
Okay, then do you expect these panels to be filed, DMFs to be filed in US and EU going ahead?
Sorry?
Have you already filed some panels in the US?
For panels, we have not filed in the US as of now, no. Because...
are there any plans to file?
Sir, as of now, except Tapenem by Aurobindo, there is not much export to the US of the finished dosage form.
Correct.
Tapenem we have just started, so we will take a year or so of our production and then look at how we can go into the US market and with whom.
Correct. Now, coming to the... yeah, I think for now that is it. I will probably get back in the queue if I have any more questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik from KK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if I see your revenues from the last 10 years, it has not grown much. But in the COVID era, that inventory built up, at that time it was grown. But now you are envisaging we will grow by 25 to 30%. What has changed from a management mindset point of view, or what are the growth do you see suddenly emerging from that 10 to 15 or 10% to 25 to 30%? That is huge. So what is changed in the management side? Can you throw some light there, sir?
So the major change is the investments we have made, not only in CapEx, but also in the new products which we have developed, and including a new plant starting in Panoli. So the mix of all this will result in the growth.
Hey, even if you look at 21-22 to 22-23, we have roughly grown by 20%. This year also, we would be roughly growing about 17-18%.
And so when did we start the plant?
The Panoli plant is expected to start next quarter.
So before that, it was coming from the existing capacity, right? Then.
Yes, sir. But in the existing plants also, in the last 1 year we have invested. But as you know, here in pharmaceuticals, you increase the capacity, then you take validation batches, then you get vendor approval, stability data to be generated for 6 months. So from the day your plant starts, your actual commercial potential is exploited more after 1 year. So please bear that in mind.
Okay, just to summarize, sir, in the last 5 to 6 years, in 21-22, we get the cash flow. With that cash flow, we invested in the facilities, but before that, we have not invested, right?
We were slow on CapEx earlier to that.
So, okay, we were slow earlier, and through 21-22, whatever we got, we have built the facility. How much did you spend for facility, sir?
About 100 crore.
Okay, what is the asset utilization, whatever, what is the asset turnover you are thinking here?
2 to 3 times.
So 300 crores of asset you are thinking. So that will translate in the next 3 years, 300 additional crores, right?
That it's not function of only this. One is capacity in terms of your reaction capacity, and second is the product which you are manufacturing. The API is product range from 1,000 to 1 lakh or 10 lakh or 12 lakhs, 15 lakhs. So your top line depends both on your reaction capacities as well as what kind of products you will be manufacturing in the plant. And if you see all newer molecules which we have developed or which we are developing are of much higher value than what existing older products we had earlier.
Okay, so the asset turns would vary, you are saying. It won't be directly 3x, it can be much higher, you are saying. Is that what you are
saying?
So, okay, if at all with the asset turns, we are getting 300 crores of revenue additional, but the rest 200 crores you are envisaging that from the existing business we would be able to churn it out.
Yes.
So because you are saying 3 years you will double basically 1,000 crore top line you are envisaging, right?
Right.
Okay. And what about the process chemistry talent? How are we hiring it? From where we are hiring?
Sorry, I did not
understand. So I'm asking about
question, sorry.
I'm asking that to build the process chemistry and to lay the facility and you need employee and hiring, right? Process chemistry talent. So
yeah.
Existing talent is suffice or how many employees do we have in the Copra?
We had only one R&D center for API earlier in Amahad. We have already just initiated and started the R&D center at Panoli. So we have already more than doubled our R&D capacity as recent as 2 months back, which will the actual work will start from April. So we are hiring people and we will be having more than 65-70 people only in Panoli. Then we have our R&D team in formulations at Khopoli. So overall, between all the three units, we'll have nearly 100 people who are working in R&D regulatory for new products.
Oh, and thank you. Okay, fine. That answers my question. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Arvind Rai, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Sir, I have one question. I could not hear very clearly in the beginning. Have you received the permission for Panoli plant from Delhi?
See, we do not receive any permission from Delhi. The Gujarat Pollution Control Board seeks a permission from the Ministry of Pollution, Ministry of Environment in Delhi. So we are informed that they have received the clearance from Delhi and now they will process it. Hence, we expect that in the next quarter we will be able to start. There is no direct application by us to Delhi. Let me clarify very clearly.
Okay, so Gujarat Pollution
Control. Final approvals we would be expecting by end of March or beginning of April. And after that only we expect to start production in Q1 of next year.
Sir, I have one question. Without environmental clearance, how did you do so much of investment in Panoli?
Sir, without doing the investment, what clearance can I apply for? Without a plant, I cannot get the clearance. We had bought a plant which was existing and on that we have done the refurbishing and made it a USFD approvable plant.
It's a plant. I have an approval to manufacture a product which we don't want to manufacture. We are changing our product line. We have expanded. That's why we need a fresh approval for doing that.
And you are 100% sure that you will get it?
Well, we are always sure. Otherwise, we would not, as a management, invest money in something where we are doubtful of not being able to start it.
My second question is that since you are doing backward integration and you are going to make API and then you will be using that API in your formulation division also. So my question about the structure of the company, why have R&D in subsidiary? Why can't you merge that subsidiary and make one Copra which has everything integrated?
There was a strategic reason for keeping it independent. In due course, in the next few years, we'll examine the situation and take the call accordingly.
Is there
I think the rationale of having these in two is basically both business has different dynamics, different operating environment, and to have better focus on API as well as formulation. It's better to have two separate entities, though we operate as a single business group as such, in terms of all synergies are concerned. So,
we have so many pharma companies who are having everything under one roof.
Everybody has a different structure. If somebody has single unit, doesn't mean I should have a, for us, what we feel is to have a better, we are in the growth phase and to have a better focus and concentration on each separate business, it's better to have two units. So that can be achieved. As far as synergies are concerned, we are operating as a single unit.
But maybe after 2-3 years, you will look at the possibility of merging the two?
How does it, change the... we'll see it whenever it looks to have a single unit or two units. We'll keep evaluating time to time.
So my question is that Copran as such, standalone, is only in one segment of the business. The other very important segment of the business is in that subsidiary. So I'm just trying to discuss the structure of the company. Is it not better to Copran have everything under one belt?
As I said earlier, these are two different corporate entities as far as legal entities are concerned. Yes. As far as operations are concerned, we operate or we take decision keeping both the units in mind. The purpose of keeping two separate units is basically to have a very focused approach to each business, which has different dynamics, different business environment and business segments also. And if you see, our API as of today consumed by for formulation is hardly 5%. 95% is to outside customers.
Okay, sir. That's all from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Kaushik from KK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a request, sir. If I want to more understand on the business, whom should I connect with respect to Copran and Oricon? If you could throw me, if you could provide the details, that would be helpful, sir.
For Copran, you can contact Mr. Sanjay Doshi. For Oricon, I think you will have to take the number from the website. I think one Mr. Sanjay Jain is the company secretary. He would be the right contact.
Okay, fine.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Julie Mehta from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity again. While we were discussing about the fact that we are planning to expand into newer geographies, I just wanted to understand why we plan to enter new geographies, we would also have to plan to launch new product segments. So what is the plan around that? How do we plan to expand into newer product segments? And if you can elaborate on these lines.
So basically, new products only will help to go into newer geographies, because the older products would be saturated. For example, if I want to launch a new API or get a new partner to consume my new API, the old API, like we make ethanol, now there, that is saturated. Nobody in UK or Europe will now afresh want to manufacture a validation batch and spend money to approve my ethanol API. But for example, we have just launched empagliflozin. It's a new anti-diabetic. Now there I will have an opportunity to enter the newer countries, because that the patents are now expiring. So they are all seeking API suppliers. So it goes hand in hand. Newer products go along with the new geography. Whether it could be Brazil, whether it could be a Germany, whether it could be a US, whether it could be UK, or the companies operating in India for those markets.
Okay, sir. So my next question would be around the future outlook of the company. So what do we look at for the next 2 years? What is the kind of growth that we see in the next 2 years? And do we plan to get back to the EBITDA margins that were healthy at 17-18%? Can we get back to the FY21 levels?
I think we have mentioned earlier, we are looking at a growth of the turnover at an average of 25 to 30% for the next few years. And our target is to achieve a EBITDA margin of 18 to 20%.
Okay. And sir, this last question from my side, what are the CAPEX plans for the next 2 years and how much have we done cumulatively in the last 3 to 5 years, if you can help me with those numbers?
I think we mentioned that, but I'll repeat, we did about 100 crores of CAPEX in the last few years, and in the near term, we don't have any major CAPEX plan. There'll be only the minimal required CAPEX, which we'll continue to do, and we'll focus on generating free cash flow reserves from our profits.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Rishikesh Patole from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. So just one from my side. On the M&A front, we probably don't have much history of M&A. We don't have much history of mergers or any major acquisition.
Yeah.
I think the Abhinandan Rasayan deal was terminated few years back, I think. So are there any plans? Do you see any growth opportunity? Are you even scouting, or it is just not in the plan for now?
Not in the near future. We are not looking at any M&A. Any opportunity comes in the long term, I cannot comment on it right now. If any, some opportunity comes which is very good value for money, we may look at it. But right now, there's nothing on the anvil. I can't see anything in the short term.
Probably if you can throw some broader light, which areas we would be looking at? Anything, not the number or any therapeutic areas or in the region?
We are not looking at anything as of now.
Okay, okay.
We're not in the market right now for any M&A opportunity.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Bora from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations to the management for an excellent set of numbers. You mentioned on the call in earlier response to a participant about CDMO opportunities that you're pursuing across multiple molecules. Just on that line, if you could understand, also you are pursuing a lot of backward integration. So just the overall R&D thought process and how are we looking to develop the CDMO business? Are we looking at this as a meaningful growth driver over the next 3-4 years? If you can qualify that better.
Yeah. So basically, the essence of any CDMO is the R&D. And there is a whole host of molecules which are going off patent in the next 7 years, 7 to 8 years. Especially in cardio, diabetes, CNS, and some other segments. So the idea of doing CDMO is because we have invested in R&D. With having 2 R&D centers for the API and 1 for formulations, we are in a position to take up the CDMO, and we are looking at
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know where I got disconnected. I think we were talking about the CDMO business. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so since we have the R&D centers, the contractual development and manufacturing becomes a very good opportunity for us. And we are doing a couple of them already. But it's right now very small. But as you grow and you are known, then more and more opportunities come up.
So any specific areas in terms of therapeutic focus or chemistry areas?
It will be mainly in the anti-diabetic segment, the cardiology segment, central nervous system. These will be in terms of technology. We are looking at palletization technology as one area for the CDMO.
Couple of your peers in their calls recently have highlighted the tightening up of regulatory environment in Latin America and consequently more opportunities for Indian players. also European players are reaching out for more CDMO/CMO opportunities. Do you also see the same happening with you as in terms of more inquiries? Or you also mentioned about Latin America, the tighter regulation. You can highlight more on that in terms of the opportunities for us?
I cannot be very specific in terms of product, but definitely we are already entering Brazil with many products which are under registration. For example, we are in Mexico. And as for API, we are already in Europe, U.K., U.S. We are looking at Japan, and we are looking at partners who want specifically a particular API to be developed, or in some cases, they want the API and the formulation to be developed. As I mentioned earlier, the entire global market regulatory scenario is changing, and you will not have anything called Norway, including you may be aware that on January 8th, the government published the revised Schedule M, in which we have tightened our good manufacturing practices requirement. So even India as a market is now becoming more and more stringent on the regulatory requirements. So the entire world will be regulatory compliant, and therefore there will be more opportunities for India because we do have the infrastructure, the talent, the technology to be able to fulfill their requirements.
Got it, sir. One question on the gross margins and the consequent flow-through to EBITDA. We are at high 30s gross margins for the current quarter, and I think the margins have moved up meaningfully over the last few quarters. Of course, we had a relatively sanguine start to the year. But where do we see the gross margin profile of this company? Because a lot of our API and CDMO peers, especially those who are backward integrated, which is where we are also moving towards, they have a margin profile which is meaningfully higher than where we are today. So would you say that eventually a mid to high 40s gross margin is a realistic aspiration for the company to target as we get more backward integrated and into better opportunities?
I think if you see API is probably 40% plus, immediate term looks realistic. As far as formulations are concerned, it could be about between 35%-40% kind of realistic target for medium term.
So we'll more or less remain around current gross margins, maybe slightly higher in the near term. So what will drive the improvement?
We are targeting EBITDA margins between 18%-20%, which is currently at 14%-14.5%. And as you said, gross margins, say about 30%-35%, ranges between 30%-35%, which should go to about 40%, nearby 40% or some plus 40%.
Got it, sir. And can you, in terms of the growth trajectory going forward, can you highlight the specific two or three major contributions that would come? Let's say we are aiming a 30% CAGR. So maybe we could be tripling revenues over the next 4 years if the understanding is correct, or maybe close to tripling. What would be driving this business, the major chunks across both API and formulations?
Sorry to interrupt. I don't think we are tripling in the next 3 years.
No, no, 4 years close to triple, maybe at 30% CAGR.
Not tripling, doubling. In the next 3 to 4 years, we'll aspire to double. I mean, current year, our turnover is already 400 and odd for the three quarters. So you can calculate where we'll be there for the year. And in the next 3 years, we'll definitely double it. That is one aspect. The contributor, as I said, will be the new products, which is the diabetes segment, cardiology segment, and CNS segment. Of course, there'll be growth in Penems also because there are new Penems which we have launched, like we have just launched Ritapenem very recently. And we expect that in the next  1 or 2 years, we'll be launching one more new Penem in the oral segment. So it'll be a mix of all. We are looking at other therapeutic areas also, but not yet closed on it.
So, sir, on just on Penems, one of our leading products, I think Meropenem, there were some challenges in pricing environment last year and maybe early part of this year. I believe that is behind us now. The overall pricing situation on Meropenem has improved in the market. What's your comment on?
Priced in the last quarter and is improving now. Has improved. It has improved.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Thank you so much. I'll join back in queue for more questions.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
I'll just say that thanks so much for all these questions. It increases our confidence in our investors and their faith in us, and we'll aspire to grow and meet up to their expectations. Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.